I want everyone to think back to, I would say it's somewhere around the beginning of June, when you're 10, 11, 12, 13, and you are waiting to go to sleepaway camp. And you've received in the mail the packing list, and you received some medical forms, nothing too exciting. But you know that the day is approaching when you are going to receive a piece of information that may very well change your life. What is this piece of information? It is your bunk assignment. Now, we may realize in retrospect that your bunk assignment probably will not change your life. But in the mind of a 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old girl, this is the be-all and end-all of all things that will ever happen to you. Because if you are not in that bunk with that girl and you don't sleep on the top right corner bed, your summer's going to be ruined. It's all about where you are going to spend very minimal hours, because you don't really sleep in sleepaway camp. But where you spend those few hours is going to be completely life-changing. B'nai Yisrael, in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, are in that same moment of anticipation. They are going to be camping now in the desert. They are going to be traveling. They don't think they have quite as long as they ultimately will have, much less actually. But they think that probably for similar to the amount of time as sleepaway camp, they probably thought shorter. They thought they were imminently entering into Eretz Yisrael. But a short amount of time, they were about to find out where they are going to camp. And as we enter into Sefer Bamidbar, we begin with a census. That before we can assign you to exactly where you are going to be staying, we need to know how many people there are. Because we can't say that all sixth grade girls are going to camp on the left side of the Mishkan. If there are going to be double the amount of sixth grade girls than there are of fifth grade girls, and the fifth grade girls really need that spot. So Hashem commands Moshe to count each of the Shvatim. The men should be counted from age 20 and up. And 20 and up. And the Levim should be counted from 1 month and up. I have a little bit of a cold. That is the plan in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, that they are going to count the Shvatim. And then Hashem commands Moshe how the Shvatim should camp. So just for one moment, I'm going to share my screen just so we can all familiarize ourselves with the structure of the camp of B'nai Yisrael. And this is the structure that Hashem lays out for Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says in Bamidbar Parak Aleph, V'chanu B'nai Yisrael ish amachaneihu v'ish al diglo l'tzivotam. Every person should camp according to their shevet, according to their family, according to their section. V'halevi'im yachanu saviv la'mishkan. The Levi'im should camp immediately around the Mishkan. V'lo yiyak hatzav al ha'idot b'nei Yisrael v'shamru ha'levi'im et mishmeret ha'mishkan ha'idot. Why should the Levi'im camp immediately around the Mishkan? We're going to delve into this more in a minute, but the basic explanation is sh'lo yavo ketzef al b'nei Yisrael, that there should not be any wrath poured out upon b'nei Yisrael, that they should not Chas v'shalom come to violate the Kedusha of the Mishkan. Therefore, the Levi'im are going to act sort of as this protective bubble surrounding the Mishkan, and that will be surrounded by a peripheral camp of Am Yisrael. Then Am Yisrael is going to camp, as we see here, by Shevet. We see there's, at the top, we have Dan, Naphtali, Asher, Menashe, Ephraim, Binyamin, Reuven, Shimon, and Gad, and Yisachar, Yehuda, and Zebulun. These are how the camps were separated out. And we are going to continue on to see how they were each placed into those specific spots. Hashem continues again in Parak Bet and instructs, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe vel Aaron leimor. Ish al diglo be'otot lebeit avotam. Every person should camp according to their family. Yachanu b'nei Yisrael mineged saviv la'ohal moed yachanu. B'nei Yisrael should be camping surrounding ohal moed. This is how they camped according to their dagel, according to their flag. And this is how they traveled. When they traveled, this entire camp shifted into a line formation as opposed to a circular formation. But again, they traveled according to these group of three. These group of three shvatim stuck together in their traveling order as well. They traveled so that the Aron was sandwiched in the middle so that it would be protected, and they traveled in that way. So this whole camp kind of unfolded and they were able to travel. Every person had to camp according to their family, which is reiterated again, and surrounding the Mishkan. So it seems to be that there are two criteria for establishing the camp of Bnei Yisrael. The first rule is that they are going to have to camp according to their family, according to their shevet, and seemingly that they camped with representation on that camp of some sort of flag. And the second criteria is that the camp had to be established surrounding the Mishkan. So right now, if Moshe is entering into the next phase of he has counted Bnei Yisrael and now he needs to place them into their camps, he knows that there are these two criteria. Everyone needs to be according to their families, according to their shevet, and also the entire formation should surround the Mishkan. So first, let's try to understand for one moment, why do we need this structure of sort of the three-ring camp? These three concentric circles, why was it important to have the Mishkan at the center, surrounded by the Levium, then surrounded by the rest of Am Yisrael in a circle around that? The first option is that possibly it was sort of military. That we see that one of the explanations given to the counting of Bnei Yisrael at this point is that now they are entering into a new phase in which they will have to establish their military. When they enter into Eretz Yisrael, they are going to have to fight for the land. And therefore, they had to count to see how many soldiers they had, which is why all of Am Yisrael is counted from 20 and up, whereas the Levium are counted from 1 month and up. Because the Levium are not going to be entering into the military. The Levium are going to be entering into Avodas HaKodesh. They are going to be entering into the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and that training process starts from once you are considered to be a viable life. At that point in time, you were a viable life from the age of 1 month. They were pretty sure you were going to live at that point. So therefore, they would be counted among the people who were going to ultimately train to work in the Mikdash. The rest of Am Yisrael was preparing for battle. So they were counted from 20 and up, the age at which they would enter into the military. That is not a lifelong training process. That is a more condensed process. You don't need to know every person who will be alive. You just need to know how many people are above the age of 20, above military age. So if this entire parsha is talking about preparing the nation militarily, then it makes sense that there would be a military component as to why the camp was structured in the way it was. That the camp was structured that you put your most precious items in the center with as much protection as possible. So if the Mishkan is what is most dear to us, we are going to put that at the center with the Levium guarding directly around it. And then the rest of Am Yisrael, who are going to be the fighters, they are going to be the ones actually in the military, they would be surrounding it, that they provide that level of protection. Then at first we had looked at the Levium as the ones providing the protection, because it's all about how you think you're protecting. If you're protecting from a perspective of Kedusha, then the Levium are the ones there as protection. If you are protecting from a military perspective, then the fighters are going to be the ones providing the ultimate protection. Another option is that this was an educational message, and we are going to see this as a theme that's going to run throughout this entire discussion of Machane Yisrael, that we actually discussed this idea last year in Tanakh B'Shana when we discussed Sefer Bamidbar. If you could tell, I'm a little fascinated with the camp of Am Yisrael. But in establishing Machane Yisrael, we're going to see that every detail has some sort of deeper understanding to it. And some of the Mefarshim explain that this three-ring structure is just the beginning of these educational messages to us. What is the educational message of the three-ring camp? It's that whenever you have a circle surrounding a central point, by definition, that means that all of the external points are equidistant from the center. That we were meant to learn just from the basic structure without knowing where anyone was positioned or who was where. There didn't even have to be a concentric circle for this. We would learn that every person is equidistant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That if Hashem is at the center in the Mishkan, we were each placed in a manner that we were equidistant from each other and from the center. That we all know that we have equal opportunity to connect to the Mishkan and to establish that connection with Hashem. So either this circular structure, this three-ring structure, was a military approach, or possibly it was simply an educational idea that it was meant to show us that we're all equidistant from the center. The Malbim brings a slightly different approach. The Malbim says, V'chanu shebnei Yisrael yachanu ish al machanehu, shekol shiva yachaneh b'fnei atmo v'chol degel b'fnei atmo. Kimo she'amar b'mkomo v'halevi'im yachanu saviv l'mishkan, haynu b'it hachaniya shalemala, davar m'it hanisiyah u'bazel lo yiyah ketef al b'nei Yisrael. He says, we understand that when it says, Yachanu ish al machanehu, that each person should camp in his camp, every shevet should be separate. Everybody should be in their place. The Levim had their place. Yachanu saviv la mishkan, they should be around the mishkan. Hayinu be'it hachaniya shalemala, davar me'it hanisiya. This is, Hayinu be'it hachaniya, this is at the time of the camping, shalemala davar me'it hanisiya, that this was a higher level than when they were in travel. Ubaze lo yiyeh ketef al b'nei Yisrael, ki ha-levi'im yiyu kemechitza b'in ha-machna Yisrael v'b'in ha-mikdash. Why was the camping camp a stronger, more secure camp than the traveling camp? Because when they were camping, they had this mechitza of the levi'im between the rest of Am Yisrael and the center in the Mishkan. So shelo yaketef, that there should not be any harm done to B'nai Yisrael because they accidentally or chas v'shalom purposely violated the Kedusha of the Mishkan. Shav Mikdash, hu keliv b'ba'al chai. The Malbim says, what is so important about protecting the Mishkan? Why did it have to be so enclosed in the center of the camp? Because it's like keliv b'ba'al chai. Like the heart, like the life source of a living being. Shemimenu totzaot hachayim. Because from that heart comes the source of life. Visavivlo haria hamigina ala visavivlo haivarim hachitonim. That the heart is at the center and everything around it protects it. That all of the limbs come out from that center point. They are fueled, they are given life by the heart, but also the limbs on the outside are there to protect it. V'shamru ha-levi'im, kimo shekatov ha-levi'im shomrim, b'kol echad mekomo. The Malbim is explaining to us that it is kind of a combination of both of these things. That we believe there is a spiritual and some sort of military nature to this setup of the camp. And that is best manifested through this mashal of using the heart. That the heart is the life source. The heart is the fuel. That in the same way we said there is this educational purpose that we should all recognize, that this is not just a building at the center. It's not like having a community established around some sort of community center. This center, this pulsing heart in the middle of the camp, is Hashem, is what gives us life. So we are there, we all want to connect to the center because we need it to fuel us. There's this symbiotic relationship between the camp and its source. However, as well, we are the Evarim. We are there to protect. We are there on the outside to guard. So therefore, the Levim have to be in the middle because they are the first line of protection. And we are on the outside protecting from any external forces. So this Malbim kind of combines the different approaches. That the purpose of the camp kind of goes from inside out and also from the outside in. Hold on one second. So now that we understand the three-ring structure, why it was so important to have these concentric circles with the Mishkan at the center, that was one of our criteria, that the camp had to be established surrounding the Mishkan. I want to try to understand another question. Anyone who has gone into the logistics of making bunk assignments or trying to even assign seats in a classroom knows that it is definitely more complicated than if you just tell people, pick your own seat. That a teacher knows that many teachers prefer teaching high school than elementary school, because in high school you can say, let's hope we are mature enough to just pick your own seat. Everyone can choose where works best for them. If you know you're a front of the seat of the classroom person, sit there. If you know you're a back of the classroom person, sit there. You're not going to tell that to third graders because they will be able to pick the most beneficial seat for them. Most likely you can't really tell that to high schoolers either, because they'll just choose who they want to talk to. But you hope for the best sometimes, and then you usually have to fix it after. But why didn't Hashem just say, you guys are adults, pick your own seats. Everyone is free to choose wherever you want to go. Why was it so important to camp according to their family, according to the Shabbat? Why did everything have to be so specified? Why was it so important that we should camp according to our Shabbat? Now, one can say from a logistical perspective, it just made things more organized, that everyone sort of knew where to go. The fact that there was a designated area for each Shabbat meant that when a new couple gets married, they know the formula. You go to wherever your husband Shabbat lives, so that you don't end up with people everywhere and a housing crisis in one part of the camp where you can't find a house, and the other place you can't get anyone to move in. You don't end up with this imbalance where everyone's moving to one side of the camp because it's the sunnier side and the other side is left in the dark. You make it all even. Everyone knows where they are supposed to go. So you could say from a very simple logistical perspective, you're dealing with a lot of people. It's just easier if everyone has a specific place to go. However, the Ramban gives a very fascinating idea, which is based on an idea also developed by the Ibn Ezra. Both the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban parallel the camp of Am Yisrael to the Merkava, to the chariot that surrounds the Kisei HaKavod, that is described in Sefer Yechezkel. So I brought you the Ramban, which describes why it was so important for each Shabbat to be exactly in the place where they were put. Ve'od ra'iti b'midrash. The Ramban says he brought this idea from a midrash in Bamidbar Rabbah. V'kishim shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu arba ruchol ba'ulam. Just like Hashem created four directions in the world, kach siviv l'kiso arba chayot v'lemala mikan kisei hakavod. Hashem paralleled the creation of four directions in the world to the four animals, the four animals surrounding the kisei hakavod, with the kisei hakavod on top. And now as we delve into this Ramban, we are going to see that some of these ideas are very Kabbalistic in nature, of which direction symbolizes which types of forces in the world. But we're all going to go along with it for a little bit, because the lesson makes a lot of sense, even if I don't necessarily understand why south corresponds to Sheleg. We'll try to understand it. So Ramban says, this structure of the camp of Am Yisrael parallels the Merkava described by Yechezkel. V'kenegdan sidera kadosh baruch hu hadgalim l'moshe. Corresponding to the animals surrounding the kisei hakavod, so too Hashem arranged the camp. Why is this parallel originally drawn? And the Ibn Ezra picks up on this point a little bit more. Because when it says, Ishal diglo, what was this degel? What was the flag? The Mefarshim explain that this flag symbolized the animal of the Shevet, that when Yaakov gave Berachas Yaakov, to many of the Shvatim he assigned an animal corresponding to their kohol. And on this flag, that animal was portrayed. When we saw this imagery of four animals going out in the four directions surrounding the Mishkan, this is what drew in our attention to connect this to the Merkava, which was the Kisei HaKavod at the center, surrounded by animals on each side. So we have this very similar imagery, which causes us to make this connection. So Lemosha Amarlo, who is going to go in which direction? Mizrach, who is going to go on the east? Shemimenu yotzei or la'olam. From the Mizrach comes out the light to the entire world. Like we say, the sun rises in the east. That light comes into the world from the east. Yehei kenegdo Yehuda. Who should camp on this eastern side from which the light comes into the world? Shevet Yehuda firstly should be on that side. Shehu Baal Melucha, because he is the Shevet of Melucha, of kingship. Ve'alav Shevet Yisachar, and Yeshevet Yisachar should be on that side as well. Shehu Baal Torah, because Shevet Yisachar was known as the Shevet of Torah because they were the lifelong learners. Ve'alav Matez Zebulon, and on that side, Matez Zebulon, the Shevet of Zebulon as well. Shehu Baal Ashiru, because he is the Shevet of wealth. Kama dechtiv, zivulan lechof yamim yishkon, kemo shene'emar, ki shefa yamim in ku yisa'u, barishona kemo shene'emar, ve'avor melachem lefneihem v'ashem baram. So we bring quote psukim for each of these ideas, that in the side on the east, where light comes into the world, we are going to have Torah, we are going to have melucha, and we are going to have ashirut. So we are going to have wealth, kingship, and Torah. The three things that bring light into the world are going to go on that eastern side. So that's why we couldn't just have the representatives of Yisachar camping on the west, because Torah, the strength of Torah, needed to be on the side that corresponded to it. Darom, who is going to be in the south? Talalei Bracha. In the south is where we have the source of Talalei Bracha and Yishmei Bracha. The source of dew and rain is in the south. Yotzim yimenu lo'olam, yehi kenegdo re'uven. So who should be in that southern side from which Tal and Geshem, both sources of bracha, come to the world? On that side should be Shevet Re'uven. Shehu ba'al tshuva, because Re'uven represents tshuva, which is similar to water. Water is the power of tshuva and dew. That these are things that bring renewal, that cleanse the world. The Hatshuva Mida Tova. Tshuva is a great Mida. V'rachamasha kadosh baruch hu ba'in la'olam b'shasha sin tshuva. So just like Hashem's rachamim for us is expressed when we do tshuva, so too is it is expressed when Hashem brings rain and dew to the world. V'alav God, who else should be with Shevet Reuven? God, Shehu Baal Gevura. That the source of Gevura, which is Shevet God, should be on the south as well. Reuven b'tshuva v'gad b'gevura. So we right now have tshuva and gvura. V'shimon ba'emtza l'chaper alav v'shnayim yisau sha'tshuva hi shniya la'torah. So they are going to be on the south. Shimon is going to be sandwiched in between God and Reuven to bring kapara to his shevet. Because Shimon, we are not told so much of their strengths as much as their weaknesses. So they are going to be bundled in with God and Reuven to bring kapara to them. They are going to travel in the traveling order immediately after the camp of Yehuda, because first comes Torah and then comes Tshuva, in the terms of our hierarchy of Kohol. Ma'arav, who is going to be in the west? Otsrot Sheleg v'Otsrot Barad v'Kor v'Chum. The source of all weather, whether it be snow or hail or cold or warmth, that is going to be in the west. V'kenegdan Ephraim v'Menashe v'Binyamin. Menashe, Ephraim, and Binyamin will camp there. V'hashchina lo'olam v'ma'arav. It is said that the Shechina, that Hashem rests, always in the west. V'gvul Binyamin, at the border of Binyamin. Shene'amar, l'Binyamin amar, yedid Hashem yishkol l'betach, l'betach alav, v'shelishim yisau na'el la'torah v'l'tshuva gvura k'dei sheyitgaber adam b'torah v'yitgaber al yitzro. They are going to travel third in the order. They are going to follow after Torah and tshuva, and then is going to come this camp of Binyamin that is going to be Yedid Hashem Yishkol Nabetach. They are very dear to Hashem. And following after these kohot of Torah and tshuva and gvura to this camp that doesn't seem to have much of an identity in and of itself is going to bring them in the right direction. It will help them to do good. And lastly, Tzafon in the north, Tzafon misham hachoshach yitzei la'olam. From the north, the The darkness comes out into the world. The Kenegdo with Shevet Dan. And Shevet Dan is going to be on that side. Poor Dan. We've talked about this before. They really get a bad rap. Lama Shehu Hechshich et Ha'olam. He is the one who brings darkness to the world. Ha'olam Bavudazara Sha'asa Yeravam Shene'amar B'malachim V'etecha Natan B'dan V'alav Shevet Asher V'ha'ira Tachushah. So first we have, why is Shevet Dan on that side? Because Shevet Dan, through the Avodah Zarah that Yeravam served, brought Choshech into the world. So with them, we need to bundle someone who's going to bring more light into the world. Shene'emar, v'tovel b'shemen raglo, v'alav Shevet Naphtali, shehu baal bracha l'achrona. So we are going to put Shevet Dan, with Asher and Naphtali, that are both Shvatim that are said to bring more light into the world. Yisau b'chol mi she'ovid avudazara hulech la'achor v'lo lifnim. But they still have to go in the back. Even though there are these two other Shvatim that are there to sort of balance them out, they still serve the avudazara, they still have to go in the back. V'udor shim sham k'neged arba machanor hamlachim sham v'midrash haya hakol chachamim v'kavod v'gdula l'Yisrael v'lekach yizkir ha'katuv hakol b'prat. So the Torah spells out to us specifically where each camp should camp, why each Shevet has to camp exactly where they are designated, why this is not a choose-your-own-seat kind of situation, because each of them are placed in the ideal location for their kalach. That if they are a particularly great Shevet, they are going to be positioned somewhere along with the two other Shvatim in that camp in order to best optimize the direction in which they're in. So it is not only important where the Shevet itself is placed, who they are placed along with, everything was designated specifically in order to optimize the experience in terms of how we will best be able to impact the world. If we're looking at this in connection to the Merkava, it's a very powerful idea. That the Merkava, this chariot, as if of the Kisei HaKavod, is what was able to support, bolster, and transport the Kisei HaKavod. And if we look at the camp of Am Yisrael as this Merkava of the Mishkan, it has very powerful implications. That God's seat is in the Kruvim, in the center, in the Mishkan. And Bnei Israel followed Hashem by building this Mishkan in this way, and now they have come to escort this Mishkan. That this gives a higher purpose to the camp as a whole. That there, now there is this elevated mission. It is not only a way for us to efficiently get from place A to place B, but rather being a part of this camp is part of the mission in and of itself. That we are not just aimed at entering into Eretz Yisrael, we are aimed at transporting and escorting the Shechina while we camp. We have now transformed ourselves from simply a place to live to a powerful mechanism that works together with each of us utilizing our kolchot in a specific way, in the way in which we are positioned as part of this Merkava, to elevate the camp to a higher purpose. So now each person, these two criteria of surrounding the Mishkan and Ish al diglo, Ish al machanehu, tie together as one. Because we are only effectively able to surround the Mishkan if we are each in our designated place in which we can best work to serve Hashem. However, we first found these two criteria. But if we look into two Rashis that come up in the that are very famous, that come up in the coming Psukim, in Parak Gimel, we'll see that there seems to be another criteria, something else that impacts the camp. If we look at Bamidbar Parak Gimel, it's assigning each Shevet to their place and says, Mishpechot b'nei kehat yachanu al yerech ha-mishkan teimana. When it's telling us which direction the family of the Levium, the different families of the Levium should camp, it says that Mishpacha Kehat should camp teimana. They should camp on the, sorry, I get all confused with my directions all the time. They should camp on the south. Sorry, that was a major loss of train of thought. They should camp on the south. So who are they next to? They are next to the camp of Reuven. Rashi says, Mishpacha b'nei kehat yachanu teimana. V'smuchin lahen degel Reuven hachonim timana. They are next to the shevet of Reuven, who is also camping on the south. Oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheino. One of the most famous lines in Rashi, oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheino. If you have a bad neighbor, it's going to be bad for you. L'kach, l'kumei hamdan v'aviram v'ma'atayim v'chamishim ish im korach v'adaso. When Korach and his group of 250 men and Dasan and Aviram, when they were going to go against Moshe, where did Korach pull these people from? Korach was from the family of Kehat, and he pulled from his neighbors, from the Shevet of Reuven. He was able to bring along Datan, Aviram, and 250 men along with him into this terrible plan, and they suffered right along with him. That they followed along with him in his machloket. However, we also see the opposite, just a number of psukim later. V'achunim lifnei ha-mishkan kadima lifnei ohal moed mizracha Moshe ve'aron ve'banav shomrim mishmeret ha-mikdash l'mishmeret b'nei Yisrael v'hazar ha-karev yumat. Moshe, Aaron, and their family specifically, they camped on the east. So who were they next to? They were next to Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zebulun. Rashi says, V'smuchim lahem degel machane Yehuda v'achunim alav Yisachar v'Zebulun. Tov l'tzadik, tov l'shcheino. Lest you should think that it is only to the negative, that we only say, Ay l'rasha, ay l'shcheino. No, it's also tov l'tzadik, tov l'shcheino. If you have a great neighbor, good for you. You'll benefit as well. Lefi shehayu shcheinav shel Moshe shehaya osik b'Torah, because they were the neighbors of Moshe who was osik b'Torah, na'asu gdolim b'Torah. That is how Shevet Yisachar came to merit being so great in Torah. Shene'amar Yehuda mechokekai, u'bnei Yisachar yodei bina, roshei Sanhedrio u'mizbulan moshchem b'shevet Sofer. So each of these shvatim of Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zebulun, they thrived in Torah, whether it was learning Torah, supporting Torah, producing Talmidei Chachamim, and they benefited simply because they lived near Moshe Rabbeinu. They were next to this holy camp, and they benefited as well. So my question is, if you are placed by Hashem in the optimal location for you, we are saying how much thought went into placing every person in the exact place in which they could best serve Hashem. Why something that seems as insignificant as who is in the camp next door, why does that seem to so greatly affect you? But think about it. If Hashem placed Mishpacha Kehat in the south because they had to be there, and Hashem placed Mishpacha Reuven and the camp that camped along with Reuven, he placed them next to each other, and they were there to optimize their kolchol. They are in the best possible situation for them. Theoretically, they are at their peak. They are doing amazingly. They are in their ideal setting. Shouldn't they be thriving regardless of who is around them? Why does it seem to come down to something so simplistic, something that we would think about in choosing a house? You don't want to move into a bad neighborhood. You don't want to move into a place where you're impacted by the people around you. That shouldn't affect the Machane Yisrael that they were placed in that exact location by Hashem. Shouldn't Hashem have accounted for that? Like, who would do well sitting next to each other? Every third grade teacher who has to decide who should sit next to each other is thinking about how one will affect the other. We're going to say that every element of this camp was so calculated that everyone should be equidistant from each other and from the Mishkan, and that which direction they should be on and which kolchot this corresponds to. But they have a bad neighbor and it all goes downhill from there? This seems to not make any sense, that the people we're living next to would impact us so greatly. Hold on one second. Okay, I apologize. So to answer this question, there's a piece by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe quotes from three different sources. He brings one idea from Rashi, he brings one idea from the Midrash Tanchuma, and he brings one idea from Bamidbar Rabbah. And the basis of these, of the ideal of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, is that there are three hypotheses as to what this means, Oy l'rasha, Oy l'shcheino, Tov l'tzadik, Tov l'shcheino. The first approach that can be found in the Midrash Tanchuma, and I brought you this very extensive Midrash Tanchuma, is that if we go four lines from the bottom, I apologize that it is so long, I cut it down, this is only half of the Midrash. But if you look four lines from the bottom, so far alav shayushchinav kulam naasu b'nei Torah, u'menadarom b'nei kehatz v'smuchinu ahem shimon v'gad, mikan amru oy l'rasha oy l'shchino, elu shloshet shvatim shayushchinim l'korach v'adatu b'darom, avdu imo b'machla kato. The Midrash Tanchuma is saying that the first approach as to what oy l'rasha oy l'shchino means is that it is an unfortunate symptom of living next to a rasha, that if they receive a punishment, you will receive it as well. It's kind of like being in the wrong place at the right time, at the wrong time. That you end up living next to this person, and let's say they get punished, that they should have a famine in their land, or their land should be unsuccessful, or they shouldn't get rain. If you happen to live next to that person, you are going to fall under that punishment as well. Ay l'rasha, ay l'shcheino. This statement doesn't say that you will become a rasha as well. It says like nebuch to the rasha, he's getting punished, but also nebuch to his neighbor, that he gets dragged along. That he unfortunately fell within kind of the punishment zone. And tov l'tzadik, tov l'shcheino. If a tzadik is being rewarded for something, sort of by association or just by nature of being close to that person, you will often get rewarded as well. So this is sort of the most basic level. That the most basic level is just by association, you either get punished or rewarded. It's not so much that they affect you as a person. It's more that they just fall under it as well. So how does that explain Korach Va'adah? So he says, Ivdo amo b'macha lakato. That the camp was rebelling, and so the camp next to him kind of got dragged along. He needed people to come with him, so he looked next door and he said, okay, you're coming along with me. Not that they necessarily became Rishayim as well, but more they kind of just, by nature of where they were at the time, got dragged along for the plan. So that's the first approach of the Midrash Tanchuma, and we'll come back to the beginning of the Midrash Tanchuma as well. But the second approach comes from Rashi, and my natural inclination is to disregard this first approach, because I don't believe that Hashem just punishes us by association. That if I happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, I will get punished for something that I had absolutely nothing to do with. That we believe in Hashkacha Pratis, and that people, that Hashem has specific Hashkacha, that Hashem guards over each and every one of us, and we are each meant to be where we are meant to be in order to receive what we are meant to receive in life. So I don't personally subscribe to this idea that if someone else was meant to be punished and I was standing next door, Hashem doesn't have such good aim and like I'll get grouped right along with them. That seems troubling to me. So I'm going to put that one to the side. Good thing we have two more approaches. The next two approaches are a little deeper. And the Rebbe labels them as such. He says that is kind of the basic level of hashpa'a, of influence, that it's not true influence, it's just grouping. And then he says there, the next two are two levels of hashpa'a amuka, that are of greater influence. Now the second one comes from Rashi, that we go back to the Rashi of Oy l'rasha Oy l'shcheino, and we look at the last three words. Shenim shichu imahem b'machla katam, because they got dragged into the quarrel with them. That what does the Rebbe say? The Rebbe says, "Etzem hashchino b'nehem matzvia al karva pnimi chayta kayemet bin hashnayim od kodem lakin v'hi shegarma lahem lagor b'shchino." The feeling that has been developed by nature of the fact that they live near each other has created this sort of shchino. It has created this feeling of neighborly connection. That because one has influenced each other, it creates a more cohesive environment. So think about it. If you live on a block where everyone behaves or thinks or acts one way, then you live around these people for long enough and you begin to talk to them and you begin to integrate into what they're doing. And that is what creates a cohesive environment because everyone has sort of molded and adapted to the way the other behaves. So he says this is a second level of hashba'ah, that by living near them, you have now adapted to become more like them. So he says, this is shanim shechui mahem b'machloket, that what does it mean? Why did the 250 men join along with Korach? Because over time, they had become accustomed to Korach's way of thinking. That it wasn't just right then in that moment, Korach needed men to support him, so he grabbed the people who live next door to him. Rather, it was over time, they had come around to the point that they were dragged into this machloket. They weren't the source of it, but they went along with it. Shanim shechui mahem b'machloket. That they were willing to go along with it. They went along with it willingly. And that is the second approach, and that is the one that comes from Rashi. The third approach is from Bamidbar Rabbah, and this approach is different. He says that what by nature causes you to live in the same place is because you are naturally attracted to the type of people that live around you. So, Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shcheino. If you end up moving into a Rasha, into a bad neighborhood, an area near a Rasha, you will recognize that there are these Rasha tendencies within you, and that is what brought you to move to that place. That it brings out what was already inside of you. It's different from the second approach, because the second approach says you may have not been that way, but by being surrounded by these people, it has influenced you to become that way. The second approach is that is slightly different, that depending on where you live, it brings out different inherent tendencies that you had within you that you may have not recognized and you may have not embraced, but by living near people who bring that out, that is how you are going to manifest yourself. That if you move into a great neighborhood, tov l'tzadik, tov l'shcheino, that he is going to bring out the tzidkus within you, that you are going to recognize, I was inclined to move towards this place because I like being near people who are tzaddikim. But if unfortunately you move to a place with rasha'im, it may bring out the rasha tendencies within you, and therefore you recognize like, oh, I'm comfortable with these type of people. I don't think it's so bad after all. It brings out what was already inside of you. And it is this third approach that I am going to say, I believe, is our understanding that helps us understand Machane Yisrael. To understand this, I want to go back to the beginning of the Midrash Tanhuma. And just for the sake of time, I want to do it outside, but again, the very long Midrash is there for you. The beginning of the Midrash Tanhuma explains, how did we come about to the idea of this camp? We're backtracking. We're saying, why are all the Shvatim in the place where they're in? And this takes the story way back before Sefer Bamidbar. This story takes place during Berachas Yaakov, at the end of Sefer Bereishis. And the Midrash Tanhuma says, who created this plan for the camp? None other than Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu said to his sons, when they were all gathered around him for Berachas Yaakov, he says, I am going to die. And when I die, I want you to transport my coffin back to Eretz Yisrael. But I don't just want you to transport it willy-nilly, everyone grab on where you think you can. He says, I want there to be a specific order. I want you to camp on this side, to hold on this side, next to this person, on the next side should be this person, with this person, with this person. Yaakov created this original formation surrounding his coffin in order to transport his body back to Eretz Yisrael. And then when we arrive here at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, the Midrash quotes a conversation between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem says, listen to Yaakov. Do exactly as Yaakov said, B'nai Yisrael should camp in the exact order in which they camp. And you can corroborate this with the idea of the Ramban, that had Hashem not thought this was ideal for everyone's cohort and everyone's optimal functioning, Hashem could have very easily switched up the camp. But because there was this idea that Hashem had this deeper understanding, Hashem said, go along with the camp that Yaakov set out. So how does this tie it all together? What does this have to do with the neighbors? Who was Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu was their father. He was the one who had awakened them to their most innermost tendencies, their deepest essences of their being. He was the one who assigned them those symbols, those animals, those things that really represented who they were. And Yaakov Avinu was saying that, yes, in the end of the day, Hashem can put you in the optimal location for your Avodas Hashem. You can be equidistant from the Mishkan. You can learn all these lessons. You can recognize that the Mishkan is your life source. But at the end of the day, it's not Hashem who is going to place you in those places, and you're just going to function as is planned. Because you're human beings. You're human beings who each have a different personality, who each interact with each other in a different way. That's beautiful if we raise our kids saying that Hashem put us on this earth in this exact place to carry the force of Sheleg and Barad into the world. And the kid will look back at us and say, huh? I'm supposed to bring snow? Oh, if you trace it back to your great-great-great-grandfather, and we were put along with our uncle because he brings cold into the world, but we bring warmth into the world, we're going to get a lot more confusion. Yes, at our essence, Hashem put us where we are meant to be in some mystical plan, and Hashem has that all planned out. But when it comes down to the level of human beings, we needed to go according to the insight of our father, that person who had raised us, who had seen our innermost tendencies, and most importantly, recognized that we are human beings and the way we interact with the people around us is going to so greatly outweigh anything that could have been divinely planned before. That in the end of the day, even though Hashem put us in the exact location where we are meant to be, next to the exact people who were going to best allow for our optimal Avodas Hashem, it came down to our neighbors. That it was Tovu Tzadik, Tovu Shcheino, something that seems so basic and human. If you live next to a good person, you'll be good. If you live next to a bad person, you'll be bad. And we're emphasizing this message that Hashem says, listen to Yaakov Avinu. He is their father who knows them best, knows them as human beings, and knows that in the end of the day, human life is this combination of divine inspiration and human action. That it is that third approach of hashpa'a, that the people we are next to are not making us into new people. That's Hashem's job. Hashem forms us. Hashem gives us our kohol. Rather, the people we are next to are going to bring out our inherent tendencies, what has already been inside of us. And that's where Yaakov Avinu emphasized that we have to recognize that human element, how one person is going to affect another. Not how one person stands alone as their own entity in relation to Hashem, but how the human interaction plays into it as well. So I believe in our lives, this gives us a sense of empowerment. That yes, we are placed in this world with a specific set of kohol that are laid out for us by Hashem. That Hashem puts us in our place in this world, in the location where we are, in the family that we are in the stage in life, the life circumstances. But there is also the human element, and that we are meant to take that power and embrace on our own. We are meant to recognize, how can I best position myself? How can I take what Hashem gave me? And how can I place myself to be my best self in this world? Hashem can put you in the right place in the camp, but you still need to make sure that you are next to tzaddikim in order to bring out that tzaddik within you. So Amir Tzashem, may we all be able to optimize our own life experiences, associate with the people that bring out the best in us, and be able to then fulfill the mission that Hashem laid out for us by putting us in this place in this world. Thank you for joining today. If anyone has any questions, you're welcome to unmute.